بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم، تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mentioned yesterday we were talking about what is the value of Islam, and especially for those of us who are, we call ourselves born Muslims, what is the value of Islam for us? Now, there is a hadith in Sahih Muslim where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that no baby is born except upon the fitrah. And by fitrah, he said, the person is born as a Muslim. It is his parents who make him a Jew or a Christian or a polytheist. So this is the hadith of Rasulullah. He said that if all babies are born on their fitrah. So that's why if our belief is that if a child dies before the age of discernment, then the child has died as a Muslim. Even if the child was born in the house of anyone else as a non-Muslim. But this does not mean by fitrah that from birth you know the kalima, from birth you know how to read Quran, from birth you know how to do salah or even the importance of salah. If that was the case, our masajid would be full of people. Why do we need to tell anybody to come to the masjid and to pray if this was from birth? Religion has to be learnt. The fact that you are born on the fitrah as a Muslim means that every human being is born with the internal desire to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is actually, if you think about it, this is the foundation of all religions. They go in a different way, but why does a Hindu go to a temple? To please God. He goes to a temple to obey God. He goes to a temple to express his piety and his love and his affection and whatever else to God. Why does a Christian go to the church? For the same reason. Why does a Jew go to the synagogue? Anyone goes, who, except for atheists and so forth, but all religious people effectively are trying to please God. Now, this is an expression of the fitrah itself. This is the internal. Now, in trying to please God, he's going to something which is not God, or he's going to someone who is not the creator. That is a mistake that he is making or she is making thanks to the upbringing and conditioning and so on and so forth. But the desire is what? The desire is to please God. The desire is to know God, right? All the people who are, even the ones who say we are not in organized religion, we are just spiritual and all kinds of things in the world which float around. But the point, long and short of it, is fitrah therefore means the need to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is inborn in the person. Now, this need is directed correctly or it is misdirected depending on the environment of the person. So, when I said being born Muslim does not make any sense because you are not born, you are born to a race or a community or a tribe or something. You are not born to an ideology, right? You are not born with an ideology. So, this does not contradict the hadith. Obviously, I know the hadith and I am not saying that in contradiction to the hadith, but I just want to explain that the hadith is very clear with what is the meaning of. Meaning of being born on the fitrah means the desire to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa clarified and he said that they go in different ways because of circumstances, because of their upbringing, because of conditioning. They go into other areas or they are misguided by their parents or whoever it is. Otherwise, this desire itself is internal. But having said that, it is critical and essential to learn the religion. And that, obviously, the hadith itself means that. I mean, how do you become a Muslim if your parents teach you? Not just by being born in a Muslim home. You are born in a Muslim home, you have an Arabic name or you have a Farsi name or whatever name you have, right? This does not make you a Muslim. If your parents have not taught you, you have not learnt anything. I mean, we know so many people, you know, as we speak, I can think of and I can recall many people who don't know even the kalima. They are born in so-called Muslim homes. Forget about praying. They not only do they not know how to pray, they do not even know La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. They never said it. They don't know it. There's nothing to do with Islam. It's just the name is there. Otherwise, I mean, everything which is non-Islamic is in their homes. So what happens to these people? I mean, are they Muslim or are they not Muslim? And it's not a single instance. This is the case in a huge part of the so-called Muslim world. So religion has to be learned. That is why religion has to be taken seriously, right? Religion is not a joke. Religion is not something to be done in your spare time or and so forth. Religion is intrinsic and it is critical and it is to be taken seriously. That is the reason why when the mushrikeen, especially the munafiqeen, they would joke about religion. They would joke about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would joke about the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, in Makkah, with respect to the Isra wal Mi'raj, the mushrikeen of Makkah, they joked about that. And they said to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, do you know what your friend is saying? He went to the heavens and he came back, and they all had a big laugh. Now, with this kind of joking with regard to either the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the Quran, meaning the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jannah, Jahannam, Yawm al-Akhirah, the meeting with Allah and so on, or joking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this absolutely clear, his position on this issue of joking. In Surah At-Taba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَقُودُ وَنَلْعَبْ قُلْ أَبِ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ إِنْ نَعْفُ عَنْ طَائِفَةٍ مِّنْكُمْ نُعَذِّبْ طَائِفَةً بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they sit around and they joke and they make all these remarks, if you ask them, they say, no, 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 we were only joking. And this is what people say. People say things which are disrespectful, and then if you tell them, they say, no, 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 I didn't mean it. Right? What is Allah saying about this, I didn't mean it? Allah is saying, if you ask them, they say, we were only talking idly and we were joking. Say to them, was it at Allah and His ayat and His messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was it Allah and His ayat and His messenger that you were mocking, that you were joking about? Allah says, make no excuse. لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. You have become murtad after you entered Islam. You have disbelieved after you entered Islam. You have become a kafir even though you are a Muslim. For doing what? For making one joke. That is how serious it is. You have قد كفرتم. Qad is the emphasis. Verily and truly you have become kufa. Who is saying this? It is not some alim's fatwa. This is the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qad kafartum ba'da imanikum. Allah said, you have disbelieved after you had believed. If we pardon some of you, meaning if you make tawbah, we will pardon you. We will punish others among you because they are mujrimeen. They are people who have committed a crime. Now, very, very important, therefore, to understand that there is no joking with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with respect to the ayat of Allah and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not a matter of fun and games. It is not a joke. It is not funny. If you joke, you have become a kafir. You die, you will go into Jahannam. Make no mistake about this. Right? So anyone who has done that, make tawbah. Because, and it's issue of saying, no, no, I didn't know, I didn't mean it, makes no difference. You have exited Islam. So make tawbah. Right? We have all these shuara, you know, people like who make these ashar. We know, kya hai humare Allah unko maghfirat kare, ghalib sahab ka. Hum jante hain jannat ki haqeeqat, lekin dil ke bahal kar, kya, dil ke bahlane ke liye khayal e ghaib achha hai. Ye khayal achha honga, jannat ko gaye to maloom hota, jahannam gaye to maloom hota. Making all these ashar, making fun of the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to say that the promise of Jannah is okay, but this is, you know, it's entertainment of the mind. Please be very serious about Islam. Is not a matter of fun and games. That's why I said, what is our value? What dollar value will you put on Islam? And the reason I'm saying this is, if you look at this life of the Sahaba, there was a Sahabi Suhaib or Rumi radiallahu anhu, who was a used to call him a Rumi. He was not a Roman. He was a Yemeni, but he had been kidnapped by the Romans when he was a child, and he grew up with them. So he learned Latin, and his Arabic therefore had a accent. So they used to say he speaks like a Roman. So they gave him this name Rumi. He was then sold. He was kidnapped and sold into slavery. Then he became. He was sold to a man in Makkah who bought him. Suhaib al-Rumi was very well educated, but when he was with the Romans, they educated him and so on. He was a businessman, very highly successful. So he said to his slave owner, he told him, instead of working in some field or something, give me some capital, I will do business, and I will share the profit with you, half for you, half for me, or whatever the percentage was, they agreed. And he made his owner very wealthy because of his business acumen. He also became very wealthy. So, he was known as a very wealthy person. Plus, he was a warrior. He was especially known for his archery. He was very good with the bow and arrow. Now, Suhaib al-Rumi accepted Islam. The Mushrikeen of Makkah, they got wind of that. So, they said, well, this guy, we cannot let him go because he is a good businessman. He makes money for me. So, we have to keep. So, they had, this posted watches and so on. But he escaped to go to Medina. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had already left. Suhaib al-Rumi, radiallahu anhu, he escaped and he ran. But they found out and they chased him. And finally, they cornered him. So, he climbed, there was a hillock, a rocky hillock. He climbed on top of that and they surrounded him. So, now he had nowhere to go. So, they started coming up the hillock to capture him. So he called out to them, he hid behind a rock, he called out to them and he told them, he said, see, I have my quiver full of arrows, and on each arrow is the name of one of you fellows. So it's up to you, you know what I can do with this. So it's up to you, want to die here, die here. But I am not going to be taken back to Makkah, that much is sure. Then he said to them, I have a proposal for you. They said, what's that? He said, I will tell you where I kept my wealth, all my money, gold, everything. Which means he has, if that is gone, he's finished. All he has is the clothes on his body. He said, I will tell you where I kept my wealth. Go and take it and let me go. They said, where is the wealth? He said, this is where it is. He told them the place. They all left him and they went back to Makkah. And Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu anhu reached Medina. When he reached Medina and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, what a bargain. He said, you made a great bargain. What is the bargain? He gave away his entire wealth for La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is congratulating him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what your companion has done. On a side note, think about this. Here are his enemies. Here are the non-Muslims who want to kill him. He tells them, I will tell you where the thing is, go and get it. If you were in charge of that group of non-Muslims, what would you do? You would send one person. Yes or no? You would send one person, go and check. This man is saying this, maybe he is lying to save his life. Go and check and then let us know. What did they do? They all left. Why? Because Muslims don't lie. Who knew this? The kuffar of Makkah, the mushrikeen of Makkah, they had such yaqeen. This man is a Muslim. If he said it, it is true. The problem is we read seerah, we don't exercise our brain. We read the story. How many thousand times have you heard this story? When did we reflect on this aspect of the story? To say that what was it in the word of a Muslim that the disbelievers, they just left him. They said, khalas, he has told us, has to be true. They left him and went away. They could have gone there and found that, oh man, this man conned us and, he told us a lie. Now we have nothing here and we escaped. He escaped. No, they got all his gold. This is the value of Islam which I am talking about. Today people say, no, I cannot do business without lying. Don't do business. Do not do business. Go sit at home. Allah will feed you. My Rabb will feed you, Jalla Jalalu. Who told you that you have to do business? If you cannot do business honestly, don't do it. Allah will feed you. Allah will send people. They will force food down your throat. But we have no iman because we don't work on this iman. We don't make effort on this iman. We make jokes about Islam. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. We have to have value for our own religion. And that's why I'm saying, ask ourselves, I ask myself, and you ask yourself a question. What does Islam, what is the value of Islam? What does Islam mean to me? If I had to pay, Allah is the mercy of Allah. Allah is not asking us to do what Allah made the Sahaba do. Otherwise, I can talk about myself. I don't even know if I'd be Muslim anymore. If Allah made us do what He got the Sahaba to do. Today, what is this? Resign from one club. You are willing to sell your iman for that club membership. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. Don't meet these people. Don't do this kind of a function. Don't do this thing in your marriage. Everything is an issue of iman. Your iman is not worth even that. You are willing to sell your iman in order to do some sachak mehdi, some rubbish, some sangeet or nonsense in your wedding. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. This is our iman. And you think that this is going to help you when Malakul Maut comes? This is going to help you in your qabr? Seriously, I think we have to get real with our lives. This is going to end, my brothers and sisters. This life is going to end and it is going to end sooner than you think. Nobody expects to die, believe me. Nobody, it's always a surprise. Every single person who dies is surprised. So let us become wary. Let us reflect. Let us value this religion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us free. So that on the day of judgment, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what will save us. Nothing else. Nothing else. So whatever else is keeping you away from this, sit there and put that in front of you and put Islam in front of you and say, which one will save me on the day of judgment? Then follow that. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.